because I want you to get some context, and I want you to begin studying it. And then next week, we're going to dive in and begin a series through Romans chapter 10, beautiful chapter that has so much rich truth in it. Paul opens and says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, quote, 'The man who does those things shall live by them,' end quote. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way: 'Do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead.' But what does it say? 'The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart.' That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, 'Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame.' For there's no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things.' But they," that's Israel, "have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our report?' So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First, Moses says, 'I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation, and I will move you to anger by a foolish nation.' But Isaiah is very bold and says, 'I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me.' But to Israel, he says, 'All day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people.'" I want to talk to you kids today. Can we have a conversation? Huh? What'd you say? Now you're going to clam up, huh? I see. I got a tough crowd this morning, a tough crowd. Let me ask a question, and I want you to raise your hand so I can put you in a microphone so we can hear you. Who here knows what this stuff is? What is it, Ben?
It is
What are these things? What are they for?
They're for Christians.
Okay, they're for Christians, but what do we call it, Sam?
Communion.
Communion. Is there another name for communion? Is there another name that we call it? It's actually several, Sam.
Passover.
The Christian Passover. And we also call it the Lord's, and what is this? What is it?
The Lord's table.
The Lord's table. Now, I want you to notice something about this. There are, let me ask you this. How many different kinds of things are in there? We pass it around to us. Someone other than Ben.
Bread and the juice.
Yep, the bread and the juice. And how many is that?
Two.
Two. Very good, Andy. You're gonna be a good math person before it's all over. The bread and the juice. So let me just show this to you. There's the bread. Y'all see that? And then here is the juice. And who can tell me what that juice is? What kind of fruit is that juice made from? Do you know?
Grapes.
Grapes. That's right. Do y'all like grapes? Yeah, me too. By the way, I tell you a good little thing in the summertime when it's hot like this is you take your grapes and put them in a freezer and freeze them hard, and then you chew on them and they're nice and cold and sweet. That was for free. I didn't charge you for that. Isn't that good advice? All right. So what is this stuff here? What do we call that? The bread. Yeah. And do you know what that actually is? What is it?
The body of God.
Well, I know that's what it represents, but what is it? Do you know what these are?
Crackers.
Yeah, but what kind of crackers? It's my favorite kind of cracker. Do y'all not know? Ben?
Chili crackles.
What'd you say?
Chili crackles.
Chili crackers, yeah, because... Do we love Ben or what? They're chili crackers. That's because at our house, and matter of fact, the first cold snap that happens, which is not yet, but the first really cool, where you walk outside and it's like, ooh, it's chilly, we have chili. My wife's mother started that years ago, chili night, when it got the first good cool night. And at my house, we use these, and by the way, kids, here's the name. You ready for this? Oyster crackers. Can you say oyster crackers?
Oyster crackers.
Very good. These are oyster crackers, and the reason we use those is because they're small and they're easy to handle. Why do we eat crackers in church? Doesn't that seem kind of silly? You're supposed to eat in church? Huh?
No.
Well, why do we eat in church once a month?
Should we be punished?
No.
No. Is it kind of, don't you think it's kind of silly that once a month we have a little, I mean a teeny, look at how small this juice cup is. I mean, that's not even going to quench your thirst, is it? We have a little teeny miniature cup of juice and this teeny tiny cracker. Why do we do that? Why do we have this snack in church? Key?
To celebrate the Passover.
The Passover. To celebrate the Passover. Sam, what were you going to say?
Nothing.
Nothing. All right. Who can tell? What is the Passover? Did you have that in Sunday school yet? Do you remember what the Passover was, Ben?
Those.
Well, it reminds us of the Passover, but do you remember when the children of Israel, the Jewish people, were slaves in a country called what?
Israel.
Not Israel, not yet. Egypt. How many remember that? They were slaves, and remember what God said? What were they supposed to do? The Jewish daddies were supposed to go get a certain animal and bring it in their house. What kind of animal was that?
A lamb.
A lamb. Now, what is a... Yes, Ben.
Say what you're saying and I'll do it.
Oh, okay. Say what you're saying and I'll do it. Emma, don't touch baby. A lamb. What kind of an animal is a lamb? From what group? A lamb is a baby. I'll give you that hint. Like Nana likes to call you kids her grand lambs. A lamb is a baby. Do you know what the adult lamb is called? You don't know? Huh? Not a lamb.
What?
Sheep.
A sheep. Yeah. That's it. A sheep. Yep. And just so you know, you should know this. Do you know what a girl sheep is called? No, not a sheep. A girl sheep, a mama sheep, is called a... What do you think? What do you think a mama sheep is called?
I don't know.
You don't know? A mama sheep is called a ewe. Is that funny? Now, it's not spelled U. It's spelled E-W-E. Yep, a U. What do you think a daddy sheep is called?
A ram?
That is right. A ram. Oh, that's exactly right. A ram. And he has big horns. And that's because they ram their heads together to fight for the mama sheep. But anyway, I tell you all that to say that when the mama sheep and daddy sheep have a baby, it's called a birth. No, yes. Come here, Ben. A birth. Yeah, that it is called a birth. But what do we call that little animal that comes out?
Baby.
A baby, yes, okay. But what do we call it?
Both. A lamb.
Born. Yes, a lamb. Boy, this is a tough crowd this morning. That's right, it's called a lamb. So a lamb is a baby sheep. So think about this. The Jewish daddy, he had to take, God told them the first time this happened, that they take that baby lamb in the house. And when the sun was going down, what did they have to do with that lamb? Do you remember?
They had to kill it and put the blood in the bowl and paint it around the doorsteps. Or else, if they didn't do that, God would come in and take their lives.
Take their what?
Their children's lives.
All of their children or just one?
The oldest.
Oldest what?
Child.
What kind of, son or daughter?
Son.
The oldest son would, the angel of death was coming that night. That's right. And so he said, God said, if you'll do that, if you'll paint the blood on the doorpost, when my angel comes to take the life of the son, when he sees the blood, he said, he will pass over you.
The Passover lamb.
That's why it's called the Passover lamb. That's exactly right. And so what do you think, though? You think it was kind of sad for that dad to have to kill that little lamb? You think so?
It was sad for his family and his children.
Right, but if it was a choice between a lamb and your son, what would you choose?
The lamb.
Absolutely. Yeah, and they saw that lamb, even though that was sad, they saw that as a great gift of God. And what happened to the people who did not put the blood on the door of their house? Do you all know?
They died, but Pharaoh's son died too.
Pharaoh's son died too, that's right. And so every year after that great thing happened, every year they would practice this Passover. And they would have, at the Passover, they would have unleavened bread. That's why we use those crackers, because they're flat. Unleavened bread with no yeast, which means flat bread. And that's because they didn't have time to let the bread rise, because God was going to save them that next morning. It was going to be time to go. No time to let the bread rise. And so anyway, they did this for several thousand years. Until one night, Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room. And guess what feast they were celebrating? What feast were they celebrating?
Passover.
The Passover. So what were they having to eat? What do you think they were eating?
Flatbread.
And what were they drinking?
Juice.
Actually, wine.
I was going to say wine.
Yeah, wine. Yeah, they were drinking wine. Here's the thing. See, if you've been listening to church, you older ones that stay in church. How many glasses of wine was at each place? Actually, only the one place, the head.
Four?
Very good. There were four. And on the third glass, that was the cup of redemption, they called it. That's when they said that God redeemed Israel out of Egypt. That's the one that Jesus used to pass around to his disciples that we hear of now. So let me ask you this question, Emma. She didn't put her finger in the cup. There's one hole in here. It's not filled in, and she wanted to look at that. Let me ask you this question. Why do we do, what parts does a bread and a cup play in our communion?
The blood of Jesus and the body of Christ.
Right. It reminds us just what Jesus said. He took that Passover celebration that was celebrated for thousands of years, and he made it what God intended it to be eventually. which was to help us remember the body and the blood of Jesus. Now let me ask you a question. Does this bread become the body of Jesus when we eat it?
No.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't become that. Is there anything spooky or weird that happens? Does the bread change in some way or make us better people after we eat it?
No.
No. So why do you think we do this? Why did God want us to do this? Ben?
To remember the blood and the body of himself.
That's right. Have you ever had a friend that was a really good friend and then they moved away? Who was your friend that moved away?
Justin and Elijah.
Yeah, what about you, Ben?
Ben?
Benjamin Flynn.
Oh, Benjamin Flynn. Yeah, very good. Have you ever had a friend that's moved away? No? What about you? Have you had a friend that's moved away? No? Well, you guys that have had friends that have moved away, how do you remember them? Do you ever think about them?
Yes, I think about them. I draw the picture of him and put him on my bed.
You draw the picture of him and put it over your bed. Very good. And when you look at that picture, what do you think of?
Benjamin Flynn.
Exactly right. What about you, Sam?
Football.
Whenever you played football with those guys a lot, so whenever you play football, what happens?
I remember them.
You remember them. So there's certain things that we do that cause us to remember them. I was in the church kitchen this morning, and somebody had cut up some oranges. I think it was Aunt Faith. And the whole kitchen smelled like oranges. And you know what? Immediately, it reminded me of something. It reminded me of when I was a kid. And they would cut up oranges on Christmas morning at the farm or Christmas afternoon when we all got to the farm. They would cut up oranges. There'd always be a plate of oranges there on the table. And when you walked in, you smelled oranges. And that smell took me back to when I was your age at the farm in Connecticut. Isn't it funny how certain things remind us of other things? Well, this bread and this juice, just like your picture of Benjamin and your playing football remind you of your friends, well, this bread and this juice is to remind us of who? Who is that to remind us of? Who do you think?
Our friends.
Well, one our friend who?
Jesus.
Our friend Jesus. And what did Jesus do with his body? Where was his body?
On the cross.
Right. And the Bible says that Jesus bore our sin. Do you sin?
Yes.
Would you like to confess your sin to the church?
Yes.
Oh, you would? Okay. Would you like to confess your mother's sin to the church?
No.
Yeah, smart boy. He knows where his food comes from. I don't even know where I was going. Oh, the Bible says that Jesus, that got me turned around, that Jesus bore our sin in his body on the cross. So where was our sin?
In our body.
In Jesus' body on that cross, yeah. He literally took our sin into himself. Can you imagine that?
And he's still good.
And he's still good. Isn't that amazing? That is so fascinating, isn't it, Ben? And then also it says that the juice. Now, let me ask you this. How is juice different than a cracker?
Because crackers are hard and juice is soft.
Good. Crackers are hard and juice is soft. What else? How else is juice and crackers different?
Because crackers have a different flavor and juice has a sweet and grapeous.
Greatness. Okay. Say it.
Crackers are hard and crackers aren't made out of liquid.
Good. Crackers are solid and juice is a liquid. So do you drink crackers?
No.
What do you do?
Eat them.
You chew them. Do you chew the drink?
No.
What do you do?
Drink it.
You just drink it. You just swallow it. It's different. They're different forms. So the body of Jesus is kind of like ours. It's flesh. But the blood of Jesus would be what? A liquid, right? And so the bread reminds us of Jesus' body that our sin went into on the cross. But what does the cup remind us of?
Of Jesus, the blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus. And what paid for our sin on the cross? What was the price of our sin?
He paid us our clothes. He paid us our sin.
Yeah, he paid for our sin with what?
His blood.
His blood. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. That means the doing away with sin. Come here, Emma.
He turned our blood as white as snow.
Yes, his Bible says that our sins were as crimson red, but he washed them whiter than the snow. And he did that through his blood. Now, I want you to think about this. If God sacrificed his own son for us, what does that mean about us? What does that say about you and I?
If God told you to do that, you were doing the right thing. You weren't making any mistakes.
Okay, yeah. Did Jesus make any mistakes?
Not at all. Not even. We are sinners. You're sinners. We are sinners. Except for Jesus and God.
That's right.
And when we become a Christian, we will no longer be a Christian. I mean, we will no longer have sin.
Well, do you still sin when you're a Christian?
We do, but we deserve a punishment.
That's right. The punishment Jesus took for our sin, huh? He's going to be a good preacher one day, isn't he, folks? Preaching the gospel here. Do you think God loves you, Key?
Yes.
Why do you think that?
Because he sent Jesus to die on the cross for us.
And how do we remember Jesus dying on a cross for us?
Crackers and juice.
That's exactly right, Annie. Let's give them all a big hand. You can go be seated. Good job, everybody. Very good. You know, it's important, by the way, to ask questions of these kids to make sure they know what's going on and that they understand what this is all about. Would you say they've got a pretty decent grasp on that? And I'm going to tell you the truth. As far as my kids go, I'm ashamed to tell you this, but they didn't learn all that stuff, maybe with the exception of Sam sitting in the service. But the littler ones didn't learn all that stuff from me. They learned it from their mom in Sunday school. And if you got a kid, they need to be in Sunday school. We got a curriculum that is a 3-year cycle. And I'm not quite, it's put out by John MacArthur. Some of you will know his name, his church, Grace Community Church. And it goes through the whole Bible every 3 years. You think it would be good for your child to have an overview of the whole scripture every 3 years until adulthood? I think so. And as we continue in that, little Emma will have gone through that 3 times. She'll probably have a better understanding of the overview of the Bible than most of us sitting in the pews today. So I want to use that as a shameless plug to say that you need to have your kids in Sunday school because that's where they're learning this stuff. And that was in cycle one, 2 years ago, that they learned that. And you can see how that stayed with them. So I want to encourage you to do that. Well, I wanted to explain communion from the point of a view of a child today in hopes that we would all understand it. We had a great discussion in Sunday school today about not being insincere in our worship, but to be in the moment. And really, God gave us this object lesson of communion to help us do exactly that. Just like Ben drew a picture of his friend and put it by his bed to remember him, and that every time Sam plays football, he thinks about his two buddies that lived across the street. Every time we come once a month, first Sunday of the month, and take the lids off of some juice, and as Ben said, chili crackers, we are to remember that God loves us. We're to remember that we're pretty bad. We're pretty sinful. Our sin must be worse than we could ever imagine if the only way to fix it was for God to send his son to die in our place. That's pretty heavy. And we also should rejoice that God loved us enough to do it. So with those things in mind, let's do what the Bible says, and let's take just a moment in quiet prayer to examine ourselves. Make sure our accounts are straight with God and with each other. And I was reminded this morning in Sunday school that this is a great time that if you've got something against somebody, or if you've sinned against someone, you need to make that right before you take this. You have my full permission and encouragement to get up from your seat and go make things right with that person before you take this communion. So let's just take a few minutes of quiet prayer together, and then I will close that time, and we'll say the Lord's Prayer together, and then we'll experience communion as a family. Lord, we come to you today acknowledging that in and of ourselves we have we have no ability to stand before you. Matter of fact, we'd be in big trouble to stand before you without a covering. And your word says that you have hidden us in Christ, and that's a good thing. We are hidden from your wrath and your displeasure because Jesus took care of all that. He bore that on the cross in our place. And I pray that the reality of that will not be lost on anybody in this house today. That we would remember. We would be overwhelmed with your love, your grace, your mercy, your justice. That we would be reminded of your abject holiness, how serious sin is, and that there is a righteousness that we must have that does not come from doing, but rather from being. May we embrace all of that as you bring us into a proper memory, remembrance of the sacrifice of Jesus. As we pray together that very prayer that he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. All right, let me have my fellows come and we'll take up the Lord's Supper.